Hailing Frequencies Open, and welcome to Enterprising Individuals, the Star Trek discussion podcast that boldly goes into excruciating detail about the series, characters, and stories of the Star Trek universe. I'm your host, Aaron Coker, a.k.a. Caliban, and all hard-hitting Federation journalists live by the same rule, follow the lack of money. I'm joined on this episode once again by Asterios Kokonos. Asterios is a writer, comedian, and podcaster who has written and performed for outlets like The Nerdist, Geek & Sundry, Screen Junkies, and the Maximum Fun Podcast Network. He's got his own podcast, The Loudest Podcast, which he hosts with Sriracha, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. Asterios, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me back. I'm really excited to have someone to talk to about Voyager in my life.
I'm glad.
I can't bore my family and friends. I love them too much.
Yeah.
I can only talk to other podcast geeks about it.
I'm glad I could provide that service for you.
Yeah, this rules. I can't wait. I'm very excited.
All right, wait just a little bit. First, I want to say that it's great to have you back aboard, and today we'll be talking about Investigations, the 20th episode of the second season of Star Trek Voyager. With its stationary setting and serialized nature, Star Trek Deep Space Nine introduced a new horizon for Star Trek tales, but with the debut of Voyager, the powers that be at Paramount wanted to return to episodic, spacefaring storytelling, which would differentiate itself from TOS and TNG by presenting original and diverse new characters. One of those characters was Neelix the Talaxian, who debuted as a scavenger and junk dealer, but ascended eventually to the role of morale officer and ambassador. Audience reception of Neelix was mixed, and fandom remains divided on him as a character, but at the very least, he qualifies as an original. And hey, does Spock have a cookbook? But we'll talk about that a little later in the show. First, Asterios, it's great to have you back on board. It's been a while since we last spoke. Certainly, we last spoke before 2020 rolled around. And pandemic living has been hard on everybody. But I have to imagine that living in a city like New York has got to present its own unique challenges in a pandemic.
Yeah, it was particularly terrifying because, like, we got hit first and we got hit hard.
Yeah.
But the thing that we always thought was, we were like, well, at least the rest of the country is going to like take all the lessons from what's happening to us. And like, they'll probably like wear masks and like do better.
Yeah.
And then to just see like Groundhog's Day, like every other major city,
yeah,
also just come completely.
Yeah.
That actually made me feel pretty good. Because yeah, I was like, you see, we're not the only jerks here. You guys also suck at this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been really tough for the entire country to come to terms with, you know, having to stay indoors, wear a mask, and that sort of thing.
We don't want to. There's all this stuff that we know. It's like, should I, like, yeah, I know I shouldn't smoke, but I want to. I know I shouldn't eat an entire bag of Tostitos, but I want to.
Yeah.
Especially if they're Tostitos Gold, which is thicker and allow for more salsa.
Yeah.
Now look, now which do you prefer? The Tostito Gold or the Tostito Scoop? Because they both have salsa acquisition, you know, benefits over the traditional Tostito.
Yeah. The scoops are rough because if you eat them the wrong way, you got a lacerated upper mouth. Your soft palate's
right
in a lot of trouble.
It's like you're eating salsa with a throwing star. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or a caltrop. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you find that isolation, in this case forced isolation, is a boon to your creativity?
Look, man, I don't want to be one of those guys on your show. Like, I don't want to be one of those guys, but I will tell you, I'll tell you what. I got the good end of this deal. Like,
yeah.
I don't have kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my job, my day job is I write like the terrible, terrible commercials you see on television. It's the worst. Like, I'm responsible for that. Anytime there's like a funny Zoom meeting and like something went wrong in the Zoom, the new normal. The only times I've written the phrase like even 6 feet apart, we can be together blank service or product. Blank service or product will give you solace in this world. We can't fix everything, but blank service or product can. It's just like, yeah, so look, my life isn't really that different, honestly. And
yeah,
so if there's one thing this pandemic has taught me is to never complain again.
Yeah.
Just be like, you know what? I'm pretty lucky. I'm going to fold on bitching about stuff. Oh, Did I used to complain about aspects of The Last Jedi? Yes, I did. I wish Poe had a better storyline. I wish Finn and Poe had more to do. Oh, but then the Rise of Skywalker comes around. They don't have anything to do in that either. Oh, but don't even get me started. But you won't, because I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Why don't we focus on the cool stuff? Old man Luke almost killing his nephew. Look, you got to slice that little guy off. That little guy's trouble.
Yeah.
If Luke had turned his nephew into Jedi sashimi,
right.
The galaxy might be a better place.
We don't got a problem. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just saying. Sometimes you got to nip the stuff in the bud. Where he's like, oh, my Luke Skywalker drinks blue milk and goes to time. Yeah, my Luke Skywalker carves up baby Hitler.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you guys. Stop just complaining.
Have R2 do it. Just fit him with a syringe like the Imperial interrogation droid has and just put a little poison in there. He'll never see it coming.
Yeah. You know, R2's got quite a few gadgets. Quite a few gadgets.
Yes.
Remember, there's that one moment in Star Wars 3 where they're just like, hey, R2, launch all your gadgets at once. That ought to distract the Sith per se. It's like, that guy can fly, he can stun you,
yeah.
Got a comm link. That guy's got lightsabers crammed into every compartment. Spring-loaded compartment.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, he'll shoot stuff out of those, all right.
Yeah.
Stuff that'll help you, okay.
Yeah, just shoot a knife out of it. Right into the kid.
Exactly.
Done.
Stop. And then go, oh, no, R2 must have had a malfunction.
Yeah, it's a terrible, terrible tragedy.
Now, look, I'm not saying, obviously, you can't trust 3PO for this. He'll screw it up.
Yeah.
But R2, I feel like R2's cool. R2 hung out with Jimmy Smith. R2 can keep a secret.
Yeah.
You don't got to mind wipe R2-D2.
No.
Where did Luke Skywalker hide his little map? R2-D2.
Right, yeah.
Why did he hide a map if he didn't want to be found? I don't know. Maybe he just likes attention. Wait, yeah. I'm talking about the wrong franchise. I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. I love the fact that R2 knows where the bodies are buried and nobody's finding out.
Yeah. Exactly.
As a comedian, though, it's got to be tough. I mean, you can't, do any dates. You can't go to
the college. Oh, no. Like heavens. Oh, heavens to Betsy. What will I do when we're not trying to entertain 9 drunks who paid $40 to sit in a hellhole and eat stale nacho? Oh, no. How will I be paid in drinks? How will I do it?
Okay. All right. So feeling pretty good about that then.
again, I don't, no more complaining out of this old chunk of coal.
Sure.
I do podcasts. I do YouTube.
Yeah.
I do Twitch.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to not have to be on the subway. Even before the subway would just kill you. Like it
right.
was still pretty gross.
Right. Well, I've been catching some of your streams on YouTube, and I love the fact that you do college shows.
I do a YouTube college show. I'm sorry, I cut you right off.
I used to listen to college shows, when terrestrial radio was like the only game in town. And now, of course, you can take it online. And you seem to get good audience response. Do you find that those shows are easy to manage? I mean, just about anybody can call in. You're doing all the producing. I feel like that would really frazzle me. But you seem to handle it really well.
I like it because there's this whole new generation.
Yeah.
And they don't know what a call-in show is.
Yeah.
And they've never heard it.
Yeah.
And so I get, there was this thing in like the 1980s where like if you called into some morning show and shot your mouth off.
Yeah.
It was like a big deal to be on the radio. And for these kids, like these like 16-year-olds on Discord, like it's a big deal to be on a call-in show. So it's like so fun. Like they get nervous. And like I always ask like big bold topics what does Kirby taste like? Like does Kirby taste good?
Yeah.
If you roasted Kirby, like does it taste like marshmallow? And a lot of people are like, well, Kirby tastes like whatever he just ate. Yeah, okay, but that's not what I meant.
Right.
Like I didn't like if Kirby ate Mario, like yeah, I get it, he tastes like Italian food. Like that's very funny. actually that is pretty I should write that down.
Yeah, that's
that
bad.
Actually is pretty funny.
That's
a
right.
really good joke. I just improvised. But I'm
trying to
think
Italian
of some
food, yeah.
No, I should do like that quite a bit. I'm trying to think of like some of our other big topics, like what's the
Oh, I was gonna prompt you. Just the best addiction or whatever.
Yeah, our recent one was what's the coolest addiction? And look, a lot of people made a very good case for cigarettes because, yeah. like, you look cool, like, and it's an instant way to make friends with people at work, at college, or at a party. You find the other smokers, you light each other's cigarettes, and you bum cigarettes off each other. Next thing you know, you got a wife and kids, you're living in a big house, driving a cool car, you got a boat, smoking out of the boat.
Yeah, Camel's your friend. This. Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey, it's Joe Cool playing pool with Joe Cool. Come on, 6 3 base. Yes, and I of course the least cool addiction is video games, unfortunately, because it's like as your character gets stronger and better, you get weaker and worse.
Right.
it's amazing. It's amazing that relationship. I have a level 74 druid, and I shit in a bucket because I'm afraid that someone else is gonna murk my kill.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want someone to gank my loot.
Yeah.
So this bucket is my new bathroom, and it's also a good friend. I painted a face on it. Like, that's not good. That's not good. That's not a good use for Mr. Bucket.
I'll tell you what. It's not. And speaking of addictions, you get strung out on things like trying to find a PS5.
Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. It's like, look. There's not even any good games. I can't name one good game for the PS5, and yet I want it more than anything.
It's supposed to make your old games better, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like backwards compatibility, and then obviously Cyberpunk 2077 was like pretty much designed for the PS5.
Yeah, right,
I played
it on
the PS4 because I thought that would be hysterical, and it looks like trash. It looks so bad. People are just running through buildings. Like, cars are just flying all over the place.
Right.
And every time you look in the mirror, there's like a 1 in 3 chance that you'll just see a floating naked torso.
Right.
I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding at all. I'm not even kidding a little bit. It's terrifying.
Like a Dire Straits video. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, speaking of Cyberpunk, you've got a lot of content on your Patreon. You've got a Cyberpunk RPG podcast. Had you played Cyberpunk the RPG before you got started on that podcast?
No, honestly, like Cyberpunk as a genre is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like it's incredibly cool, and I don't even think I need to explain why it's cool to your listeners. But you know, I hear that Cyberpunk 2077 is coming out, and then I find out that Cyberpunk 2077, the massive AAA game from one of the largest video game companies on Earth, is based on the original Cyberpunk tabletop role-playing RPG that came out in 1988.
Yeah.
There was a game called Cyberpunk, and then there was a game called Cyberpunk 2020. And that was like the big one. Like, if you've ever heard of Cyberpunk, you probably played Cyberpunk 2020.
Yeah.
Then there was another version and another version. And so I said to myself, like, I would love to dig into the past's version of the future. Like, you know, it's kind of like my friend Marley always says about Star Trek, they thought of the iPad, like, you know, a PADD, like you'd have reports on a PADD,
yeah.
But they also like, even up until Deep Space Nine, they're like, and you'll need like 1,000 of them.
Yeah. Right.
Like
there's no way. Yeah. Yeah. You could have more than one book on it. Yeah.
Right. Like they didn't even consider, like, I don't know, maybe you could beam your report from one to the other. Cause I remember when they're breaking like Sloan's head in Deep Space Nine, and they're trying to find the cure to the virus, to the genocide virus.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, which pad is it on? There's 100 pads here.
Right. Yeah.
And like Cyberpunk, the original Cyberpunk 1988 is like a similar thing. Like you could have a little camera in your eyeball, but you had to push a button and then film would eject from the eyelid.
Yeah, right. A Polaroid comes out of your nose. Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly. And like you could have like a secret tape recorder in your arm and it would literally have a tape in it and it had a half an hour. And you have to like dig it out of your arm. And so... it was just neat to do this show. We're doing a show called Jacked, and you can hear the first episode for free at jackedpodcast.com. So it's just neat to kind of try to play true to the limitations of the format. It makes an interesting look at a future that never happened.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're playing it in the 80s, it's like, oh, we're playing the future, and then playing it now is like we're playing like an alternate version of the past, that, you know, the limitations that you mentioned, yeah. Nobody saw Wi-Fi coming. That's what gets me. Like, you having to have, you know, 20 pads or like you said, you know, eject a tape from the thing. Nobody saw wireless transmission as being a thing. And we have radio and TV.
Yes. Yeah, it's like you have to, I mean, they call, you know, you have to jack in to the matrix.
Yeah, everything is wires, yeah.
And then, like, they had to, and then, like, you know, eventually, like, we did figure out, like, around Cyberpunk version 3 or 4, they were like, oh, okay, there's an internet. So they had to, like, come up with a way to sort of preserve the idea that, like, well, if you're a netrunner, I mean, you got to break into the building get into the database. Like, it's not fun if you just like hang out at home and like break into the Takashi building to like steal the MacGuffin.
Right.
So they had to do a thing where they're like, the internet got filled with a super virus, and the moment you step onto the internet, you immediately die. So like, the only internet in Cyberpunk is like weird local internet that has like treasure data on it. It's so dumb. I love it.
That sounds fun. How long do you plan to go with that? How many episodes are there?
Well, you know, I mean, I tried really hard to wrap it up at episode 5 to wrap up this first campaign. I thought I made a pretty good case for my character dying. but kind of like Han Solo in episode 6.
Sure.
The Dungeon Master had different plans.
Sure.
Yeah. Dungeon Master was like, no.
You're too valuable. So like, your toy is too valuable. Yeah.
Apparently so. So, so I don't know when it'll wrap up, but you know, if campaigns end, you know, I still want to like explore the space. And I also kind of, you know, I want to play, like, right now we're playing Cyberpunk 2013, which literally takes place 8 years ago. Like, there's like flying cars, and it's 8 years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, I want to play 2020. I think there was one that like was like Cyberpunk like 2035, and then Cyberpunk 2077, the video game that came out and bombed and is like just a big joke now. Like, it's just like it's like a weird joke. They released a new version of Cyberpunk called Cyberpunk Red.
Okay.
And so like, you know, another thing I want to do with the podcast is like explore these systems and make it so that, like, I don't know, if you're playing D&D, you can still kind of get a sense of how Cyberpunk works, even if you're not running a Cyberpunk campaign with your friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds great. People can check that out, like you said, on your regular show feed or at, what was the URL?
Or at jackedpodcast.com.
Jackedpodcast.com. Cool. Well, last time you were on the show, we talked about a Doctor episode, which was mainly a comedic episode. And last season on this show, on my show, I did an episode on comedy in Trek and how I thought that, like, Trek wasn't really all that funny. At least it's rarely as funny as it tries to be when it's really trying. And of course, we have an actual Trek comedy show now in Lower Decks. What do you think? Do you think that Trek is funny?
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God. Yes. It would not work if it wasn't charming.
But charming's not funny, though. I can't go on stage for those drunks and be charming.
No, but it's like, okay. Look, you're raising some good points. I mean, I'll say this, like, it really does help that TOS always ends on a laugh.
Yeah, it does.
And I know that, like, it's, I can imagine someone looking at that, like, making the case that it's cheesy, or making the case that, like, well, in the 60s, you had to end things like this. But I mean, I don't know, why ever they ended each episode with, like, all of our characters sitting around and liking each other and like enjoying each other's company. It does make for good television to have characters that like each other.
Yeah.
Like, the biggest difference between seasons 1 and 2 of Discovery was someone in the writing room said, yo, our characters got to like each other. Like, it's really hard to watch all these people like argue and fight. And it's like really hard to watch like Stamets like not care if someone lives or dies. It's like really hard to see people be like rip apart this tiger. Like, Stamets and Tilly and they like What if they were all friends, like, I don't know, on a Star Trek show? And it's much better. It's much better. It's not as edgy, and it's not as dark. Like, you know, like, on Battlestar Galactica, characters really didn't like each other. Yeah. No one liked guys. Everyone was constantly like, this guy is Baltar guy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. In Trek, it's like we like that Miles and Dr. Bashir are best friends, and we kind of like that Miles would rather hang out with Dr. Bashir than his wife. Like that, we like that Data and Riker are buddies. Like these are good. It makes it because they care about each other. I care about them too.
Right.
Like it's not that hard.
Yeah.
And I mean, one of the saving graces of Voyager is that the cast is incredibly likable,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and that they like do care. Like one of the fun things about the episode that we're the episode that we're going to talk about today is like there's all these jokes in it. You mind if I get into it a little bit? Is that okay?
No, go for it.
Okay, so like so there's like a running, so like it's Neelix's talk show.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Neelix has a talk show called like A Briefing with Neelix. And it's like, he starts it out originally as like kind of like a light morning chat show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's actually really smart because if you're away from your family and you're not going to see them until you're dead.
Yeah.
Like it might be nice to wake up in the morning and like see someone play the flute or like learn a new recipe or whatever.
Yeah.
And Neelix is trying to get the doctor to come on the show. And the doctor is like, oh, hell yeah. I got this great idea. Like, we're going to study the larynx. Like, I have like a 5-part series on like the Klingon larynx. It's like Klingon larynx, friend or foe.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that, I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but like it is clearly being written. Like the doctor is pitching the worst and most boring segment.
Yeah.
But Neelix, the actor who plays Neelix, plays it in a really interesting way where he's like, no, actually, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's totally
like,
straight.
I would love to learn about like the Klingon, the Bolian thorax and all this stuff. And it's much funnier. It's much funnier that like it's not just like dump on the doctor Thursday.
Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, yeah. It's a great runner, too, because it goes all the way through the episode, and then they get that last tag at the end where he does his, little briefing with Tom, where Tom explains the whole plot, and then he's like, and I'm sorry to the doctor, we won't have time for you this week. It's the sort of the Jimmy Kimmel, Matt Damon bit.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, well, look, they got 7 years to get home. The doctor will talk about bullying.
Oh, no, yeah, we'll get to that for sure. We're going to hear about
it. We'll get to it.
Yeah, and Dorian Anus is the whole deal. We'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. I can't wait.
Well, when I invited you on the show, I suggested that we talk about another Voyager episode, and I think I probably suggested like a Neelix one, and you said we should do the one where Neelix kills a guy, and I had to scan back through my memories for which one that was, and I realized, of course, that's the All the President's Men one, where Neelix becomes an investigative journalist, and it's also the finale of the long-running season 2 storyline of Tom Paris being a rebel, a loner.
Yeah, which is, I don't know too much about this storyline, but I could tell right away that that this episode was a massive retcon of whatever character development they tried to give Tom Paris in season 2. Like, you can probably explain this a lot better than me.
I think that it's hard to know, because Star Trek screenwriting is—it's not fully a black box, but you don't really know like how they put things together. You only get what they say afterwards. And I know that they had this going on with Tom. I know that they had set up the Jonas character, the traitor character, and I'm not sure that they did want them to intersect like this. But when you read about this episode, everybody who was in the writer room is like, "Yeah, we were done with both of these things. Like, with the Tom thing wasn't going anywhere. We didn't really know what to do with the saboteur guy." And so, yeah, it's very possible that this episode, in addition to just being a kind of fun thing with Neelix's show, was just a way for them to kind of dump these two storylines and just sort of move on.
Yes. That was my interpretation, and it's good to have that like confirmed with facts.
Well, I mean,
this episode,
yeah.
Yeah.
My word isn't gospel, but from what I could tell, that's definitely what it seems.
There's, look, I believe you.
Okay.
And it would hold up under oath. So listeners, you get the sense that over the course of season two, Tom is getting more and more rebellious and harder to deal with. And I haven't seen a lot of season two, but like they reference that explicitly several times this episode.
Yeah.
And so the episode kind of opens with Tom Paris being like, "Yeah, I'm leaving the ship. I'm abandoning ship. I found like a Talaxian trading vessel. I'm gonna hop on board there. I'm sure I can make a good living as a pilot. Like, I'm tired of being cooped up on Voyager. I don't like Starfleet. Let's not forget I was a literal prisoner in like Starfleet work camp after not killing a guy during a not training exercise, because I'm not that other character. I'm Tom Paris, a different character who also has an uncle as an admiral." And so, you know, Neelix is like, "Oh, beans, I don't want you to leave, Tom. You're really cool. I thought we were making progress, and I thought you were getting less rebellious." And Tom's like, "No, I'm a rebel and I'm leaving." And then Tom gets immediately kidnapped by Seska. And listeners know, you should know who Seska is, but just in case you don't, Seska was an embedded Cardassian spy within the Maquis.
Right.
So when they all ended up on the other side of the galaxy, thanks to the caretaker, like, now she's over there. So like, she's always looking for a way to like screw over Voyager. She's like an evil Cardassian. And there's also a thing where she might have, can I get a little blue on this show? Is that okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Look, bleep it out if you want to.
Blue is the science division, right? Science and medical.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. It's look, it's heavily implied that she sperm jacked Chakotay.
Right.
Like, she somehow got Chakotay sperm and she sperm jacked him and she made herself Kreggers. I think later we find out it's fake, but like, at least in this episode she's like, "I'm glowing with Chakotay's baby." Like, it's creepy, you know. I guess that's a good way to make me not like your character, if she's having like a sperm jacked spite baby. Like, yeah, okay, that's evil. That's,
I guess,
pretty evil.
They leave it she ambiguous on evil. They leave it ambiguous on the show, though.
They do? Maybe. Tell me more.
Well, there's, because we know that they had a relationship at some point, and I'm talking out of school, but I always felt like it was a little bit, the point is that, like, whatever they use in the future, Chakotay's not using that, right? He's shooting up the club.
Yeah, I mean, come on. He's not in Starfleet.
He's right, not, exactly.
Like, because I know in Starfleet they all get that shot.
Yes, like, right. Yeah, Sisko gets the shot. Yeah, yeah.
There's
an
episode of Deep Space Nine or something.
Yeah.
Where
Sisko
one
misses
of them,
his shot.
Right, exactly. Like, there's always something with the shot. I know there's a thing with the shot, but it's like, come on, he's with the monkey. They're riding dirty.
Free
fire. Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, sure.
He's a literal commando. I don't know why he wouldn't go in that style. But anyway, so Tom Paris gets kidnapped. And but then we find out that, you know, how Tom Paris is being like a dick over the course of season two. Well, actually, he was only pretending to be a dick.
Right.
So he could flush out the spy.
Yeah.
And that's why he was being a dick. He was being a dick so he could get, so he could earn the spy's confidence and find out who the traitor was and then get the traitor. Does the plan work at all?
I don't understand the plan in any way. And Neelix is, he hits a guy with a wrench at the end, but like, he is a literal wrench in the plan so many times that I don't know how it could possibly survive all of his interference. Like, first he sort of discovers on his own that something's going on, that there's somebody's doing something. And Tuvok just tells him, "All right, yeah, well, I'll take care of it, you know, and that should be it." But because Harry Kim, of all people, has jazzed Neelix up on this, you know, investigative journalist thing, he starts to climb into it again, to the point where, I like when he goes on his show and he blows the whole thing wide open and Janeway's like, "Get him up here right now." And then at that point, they're like, "Okay, no, this will work. Apparently we needed an extra wheel on this plan. So Neelix, go out and like, try to get killed. Like, keep making noise. And then maybe we'll extra draw out the saboteur." Meanwhile, Tom Paris, I guess they knew somehow that the Kazon would immediately try to kidnap him, and then his plan is to, like, Donnie Brasco, like, on the Kazon ship and, like, find the information, which seems like the longest way around to try to get the name of the guy who's, like, contacting the Kazon. The plan doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, let's just say to ourselves, let's assume, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark style, let's assume that Tom Paris doesn't do any of this. Okay. Neelix is still gonna figure out that this dude is the saboteur.
Right.
But Neelix going through, because what Neelix starts, like, Neelix starts going through logs.
Yeah, he's doing the phone Neelix, logs. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Neelix is like, I'm noticing that this data's been deleted, and that this data's been deleted, and that this thing has been degaussed, and like, there's like, and Neelix is like figuring stuff out, and he's asking down in engineering, like, help me pick up these logs. And the saboteurs down, the traitors down in engineering, and like the traitor's like about to kill Neelix, then gets interrupted by a commercial break. There's like a whole thing where it's just the traitor's like about to shoot Neelix in the back of the head. And then the doctor calls, and Neelix is like, I gotta go talk to the doctor. And then the chapter just lets him leave. You see that?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just shoot him? And I get not shooting him in the back of the head while the doctor's on the phone. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
But come on, the doctor's off the phone. You got Neelix has such a big head. It's such a tempting target.
Yeah, right.
Extract some dilithium from this guy's skull, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, they're going to find him in a torpedo tube somewhere. That Jonas's plan, too, is that I always wonder about Seska and Jonas and all of the, like, malcontents or saboteurs. Why don't they just, like, get comfy? Like, I know it's not tempting to take 75 years to fly back to the Alpha Quadrant, but there's, like, nothing out here. Like, Seska, you know, shoots her shot, and she gets away with the Kazon, and now she's trapped with the Kazon. And, like, Jonas is, at the end of the episode, he's working hard to, like, keep Tom, to make sure that Tom is destroyed, doesn't get back, because he probably definitely knows who he is. But then Tom just gets on the radio and just says who he is. So, like, Jonas should be looking for an escape pod or trying to make a deal at this point rather than futzing around in engineering.
Yeah, and, like we don't ever get a clear sense that of, like, what Jonas gets out of this. We don't get it. And look, maybe we did in another episode. We don't in this episode. But we don't, you know, it would be nice if Jonas hated the Federation or the Maquis. Like, either one.
Yeah, right.
Like, you
right.
know, because then it's like, how dare you work with the Maquis? Like, they killed my dad. Or, like, how dare you work with the Federation? Like, they took our land. Like,
sure.
You know, some kind of motivation other than just, like, being evil.
Yeah.
You know. But look. This is a good episode of Star Trek Voyager if you don't kind of pull at the seams.
Right, like Neelix, at it.
like Neelix, it's just like, yeah, I gotta say, it's genuinely exciting that Tom Paris gets kidnapped by the Kazon, and he's over there, and he's trying to prove to them that he hates the Federation, which is, like, not hard for him. I mean, he was in prison.
Yeah.
Right. he's the Federation? Boy Scouts, like, come on, I'm Tom Paris, I'm a cool guy.
Yeah.
I love the 90s.
Yeah.
I made an interstellar hot rod, I'm Tom Paris. Seska's pretty cool. Like, and again, should Tom Paris and Seska be cool? I don't know, maybe not, but those actors make those characters cool. Like, Seska is an engaging villain, and Tom Paris is an engaging hero. And Neelix is, like, entertaining. I like his show. It's fun. I like that, like, Neelix, you know, he gets, like, one note from Harry Kim. Harry Kim's like, you know, like, look, man, we're in the military. We don't really like light fare. We don't watch, like, the Today Show. We kind of want, like, some journalism. Like, we're in the military. Like, we're very smart people. Like, we're, like, in, like, the science military. And then then Neelix immediately becomes, like, the best journalist in the quadrant.
Right,
it's
right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's a pretty versatile character. And I wonder if his chilly reception among fandom is sometimes down to his place just being on Star Trek. You know, he's a character that's versatile. He's complex. He doesn't always do the right thing. He's funny. He's played by a really talented actor. On any other show, this would be a standout character. But I think maybe the audience is used to the mold of Star Trek heroes being upright and super capable and confident. And I think Neelix suffers in the comparison in the minds of a lot of fans.
He is a directly humorous character. And like, we know he doesn't start that way. If you're listening to this show, you know that the gag in the pilot is supposed to be that you think he's a goof, but he's really Han Solo.
Yeah,
then, you know, at some point, either Paramount or UPN or both are like, we like that goof. Like, you know, we've all seen the gif of Neelix dancing and it zooms in on the weird hobbit feet. And we've all seen Neelix's cookbook. We get it.
Yeah.
I just think that this act, much like every single character in this show, it's like this actor is doing quadruple duty to make lines like the Slimmy and Slug Slime Suzette. He's making these dumb jokes work, and he is charming. And at the end, when Neelix is literally fighting for his life and hitting a dude with a wrench, and in the end, he literally throws a bad guy in a warp core.
Yeah,
you're kind of like, go Neelix, go, go Neelix, go.
Yeah,
Neelix, kill that guy. Yeah, Neelix, yeah. I love it. Come on, Neelix, murder him.
He's pretty cool with killing that guy at the end, because he's just like, no, I'm fine, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. And then he's just like a funny guy, and he's like interviewing Tom Paris, and Tom Paris is like, I was pretending to have character development, but really I didn't. And I'm sorry that I was pretending that my character was changing and growing. Yes. Due to my circumstances, I'm no different. Maybe are they going to have they made me a nurse, or will they make me a nurse? I'm not quite sure where that is in the timeline, but I'll be a nurse at some point.
Won't that be fun? Yeah,
won't that be fun? It's like I'm used to being a pilot, but I got to be a nurse.
I'm also doing that. When Kes goes,
I guess they'll give me some scenes with the doctor, and then and I'll marry a character, and that ought to be good for 1.5 episodes worth of story. I'm happy go lucky. She's very straight laced.
We'll find a niche
for
him.
Does this count as character development? Plot machinations? No, it doesn't. It's just things happening.
Fixing a hot rod?
Hot rod, 90s. I like the 90s. I love the spin doctors. Is that a thing? I'm Tom Paris. Is that a thing? Captain Proton? Huh?
Yeah, right.
You guys like science fiction, right?
Yeah.
You guys like, if you're watching this, you like stuff. What if I like science fiction too? Could that be a character? I'm Tom Paris.
Just keep hanging things on him. He'll fall over like an overladen Christmas tree eventually. Yeah.
That's what the only character that I think that actually does develop is the doctor on and by the way, again, I'm so sorry. It is very easy for Star Trek fans to fall into a pattern of complaining about Voyager. This is a good episode and you should watch it. It's entertaining. It's fun. It's fun to watch Neelix crack a little mystery. You are genuinely concerned about the safety of Voyager.
Yeah.
And the thing is, look, every episode of Star Trek, you got to put the ship in danger at some point. I mean, you don't, but it seems to happen quite a bit. And this is a pretty good ship in danger episode. It's like, yeah, you know what? Seems like the Kazon have laid a pretty good trap for Voyager here.
Yeah.
Good job, Kazon. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, after all that that payoff, Star Trek has always been allergic to having continuity in their shows, unless it's something like DS9, which is mostly accomplished while the bosses were looking the other way. And then, of course, used for good or bad in Enterprise. But I'd say for Voyager, I think they were pretty committed to at least having the characters develop some to varying degrees. And yeah, maybe getting married and having a baby isn't like actual character development, but every character by the time the show is over has changed or evolved at least a little. Some a lot, like Seven of Nine and the Doctor, who they, you know, totally focused on. But I think the characters are the real big takeaway from Voyager, and at least they all grow in their own way.
Now look, man, I'll give you this. You get a robot and you try to make their arc that they're trying to become more human. Star Trek could do that.
Oh, sure.
You got Data. Yeah, Spock. If there's a character and they're not human and they want to be more human, that's a story Star Trek can't tell.
It's a Star Trek original, yeah.
They can't tell any other story in Voyager, though. Like, what does Janeway become more taciturn? Does she become more willing to compromise her principles to complete the mission?
Yeah.
And like, look, and also, I'm not one of those people that's like, Janeway's a war criminal. Then everyone's a war criminal. I don't know what to tell you. Take it up with Admiral Ross, who seemed very, very cool with genociding the shapeshifters. You know, oh, the Star Trek, they're breaking the rules. Yeah, look, if we didn't break that one tree, we wouldn't have the Defiant, and we all love that.
That's so interesting. I think the captains, I think Archer was probably, well, no, maybe Sisko. Sisko and Archer are definitely the main characters of their shows. And I think the captains do develop, I mean, you've got the perfect sort of leveling up or character realization of Picard at the end of his show, where he's like, I should have been like more of a father. I should have been part of this family more. But Janeway doesn't get that. And I don't know if it's a function of having like a female captain for the first time and wanting to make sure that she's seen as capable. And if she's not, you know, good enough at the beginning, even if she's just growing into like her skill as a captain as they go on, which, you know, you'd obviously do, we want to make sure that she's seen as strong at the beginning and she got them home and she did it. If it's like a little bit sexist, or if it's just the premise of the show, which is holding on. She has all those episodes, you know, like Year of Hell, and many others, which I don't have names for, where her determination is what gets them through. She's literally holding the ship together with her bare hands. And there's no room there for her to be like, well, she was, you know, pretty good as a captain. And then she was like really good at the end.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, it's because she doesn't have like a thing. Like all the captains are like determined, like Captain Picard also doesn't quit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Sisko is also like resolute. Captain Kirk is also like bold and daring. But it's like Janeway's thing is that like she also knows some stuff about science.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Sisko's thing is that he's like to this one planet, he's Jesus.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing. Like Picard's thing is that unlike Kirk, and look, Picard is literally the anti-Kirk. Picard's thing is that he is like an asshole who yells at a kid for being on his ship. And he's just like, why the hell are there kids on my ship? It makes no fucking sense. Captain Picard Day sucks. I hate all of this. Like, I just want to have a fucking ship that's in some goddamn ship shape.
Yeah.
I'm a British captain, goddammit. Like, and then in the end, he's like, maybe it's okay to hang out with your crew members every once in a while.
Sure, yeah.
Like, there you go. Janeway's thing is like, she knows some science.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Archer doesn't have a thing either. Because I've only seen a couple episodes of Enterprise. But I remember I'm watching a season. I'm like, you know what, Enterprise? I'm going to start watching you in season four. I'm going to give you guys 3 years to have figured this out. And I'm going to, because like I tried watching Enterprise when it started to air. I didn't like it after a couple episodes. I stopped. Same with Voyager. Like I tried watching it.
Sure,
and then
sure.
I'm watching it. And there's a thing where like, this guy's like, Archer, you changed. Like the Suleiman guy's like, Archer, you changed. You're now like
beating up
people you interrogate.
And it's like, yeah, he does that too.
Oh, wow. He became more badass. That's
yeah,
hard.
I just got done with a watch through of Enterprise, and I will say, first of all, that it is much maligned by fans, and it's totally undeserved. I mean, it's not The Wire, but it's good. But like there's a whole behind the scenes story about season four, but season four is kind of like dessert. So it's all, you know, it's all references to the original series. It's all continuity things. It's all bringing the Vulcans and all these guys in. And it's fine, but there is a lot of development in seasons 1 through 3. And you do see Archer go from this idealistic, you know, guy who's like, we can take on the universe, to being a guy who is more seasoned and more sober about, you know, what they can accomplish. And of course, it ends at the end of season 4, slight spoilers, with him helping organize, you know, the Federation's and them, everybody getting together. And so there's a heroic payoff, but it is a hero's journey of a guy going, I can do anything. Oh my God, everything has gone wrong. How do we put it back together? And they get there at the end.
So you're telling me that that my hero, I have to watch, like, every week, like, I have to tune in to watch, like, some naive guy, like, continually get disappointed by, like, the universe and, like, find out that his, like, optimism and hope is deeply misplaced. Like, I would actually prefer the reverse, if I'm being honest with you.
Then watch them.
I would prefer.
Watch them backwards, then.
Yeah, I guess I would prefer a guy who goes out there and is, like, the universe sucks. Phasers.
That's,
you need shields and phasers.
That's,
and then he
Cisco.
Finds out, well, actually, the universe is dope.
Yeah, that's,
yeah, I know, that's it. And that's, it's also Cisco. Picard. And, like, it works. It's, like, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, you see what I'm saying? How it's, like, you know, like, we like Picard and Cisco. It's like, yeah, it's good. That's, like, a better arc than, like, I slowly become that guy from 24. Like, This is Star Trek Enterprise. 9/11 happens on our
but
watch.
But
we've got to change.
There's no
like,
end.
What are you doing, Star Trek Enterprise?
There's no end for 24. He just goes underground and then he keeps tunneling through the Earth and he comes back out the other side of the Earth. There's no stopping. And like every, like, you watch anime, right? Like every anime is like, I'm gonna do it today. I've got my giant sword. And then, you know, the kid grows up and he learns that the world isn't the way he thought, but he learns a new way forward and he masters his power and he, you know, defeats Frieza or whatever. Like that's, you know, that's like an arc.
Yeah, Frieza sucks. 24 is 24 is just Jesus. It's like
neck-breaking Jesus. Yeah,
like much like O'Brien must suffer. Like it's just like there's a guy out there who's suffering to protect you.
Right, right.
Like he doesn't want
to. You're too much of a pussy to torture these terrorists, but he'll do it.
He'll do it for you because he's G, and then he'll end up in a Chinese jail or something. Like it always ends up, he always ends up in like a Chinese jail or a Russian jail or on the run, and he has to do it to like protect. He did it for you, listen, watcher.
Yeah,
he's Jesus. He's Jesus Bauer. Yeah. JB. All right, but back to Voyager. It's like, does Harry Kim become better at the clarinet? Like, no, what's his character development?
He does, you know, all he wanted to do was just sit in the big chair for a while. He does get to do that, I guess.
He gets command of the Star Trek Voyager?
Yeah, when literally everybody else is gone. Yeah, he gets to sit in the big chair.
Can you tell me about this episode, please? I like what I'm hearing.
I'm not sure of this specific episode, but yeah, he's been like, he gets the night shift at one point. Like his thing is like, ooh, I better get to bed. I got to get up late because I'm on the night shift. And everybody's like, all right, yeah, we get it, Harry. You're happy that you get to, you know, pretend to be captain.
Oh, so he's good. Well, that's fun. Okay. So like he gets a little bit of command. All right. That's fun. I mean, I like when the doctor, when they activated the emergency command.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That I like.
Yeah.
There's all this stuff. Look, man, a couple of years ago, first started going on Star Trek podcast, I was just like, Voyager's not for me. I just wrote the whole thing off. But every time I get asked to be on a Star Trek podcast, I'm always like, oh, look, I wonder if this episode is good. And then I watch it and it's real good.
Yeah.
The episode where the doctor becomes an opera singer, he becomes famous on one planet. I watched some episode of Voyager where, like, the doctor starts dreaming. He has, like, sex dreams about 7 of 9.
Yeah.
And then they, like, go to his room and they find all the sexy drawings of 7 of 9.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty hysteric. That's hysterically funny.
Yeah.
That, like, we get that, like, they found a character so, like, Robert Picardo plays the doctor so unlikable that, like, finding out his secret dirty, like, finding his porn folder is a hilarious joke. If anyone found my porn folder, I would have to go, I'd have to strap some car batteries to my legs and walk into the ocean. But, like, Robert Picardo's porn folder, that's funny. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a stick figure, you know, with the giant boobs, because he's not that advanced as a program yet.
Yeah, I saw the drag racing episode. I liked it. I saw that some episode where Andy Dick plays a hologram. I like that.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of, oh, and then I really like this one episode. I think it's like the, I think it's the season two finale where it's like the Breakfast Club, but in Star Trek.
Right.
Where they're like these four Maquis no good Nicks.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, and Tuvok has to like put them through boot camp. And then, you know what, in the end, they all kind of, they do get along. And it is kind of fun. They're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe working together isn't for pussies. Maybe working together is good sometimes. It's like, that's a nice little story you told there, Star Trek Voyager. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that Neelix is, you know, he's a Swiss Army knife, and you can tell both happy and sad stories with him. And I'm not sure if he gets more happy or more sad ones, because he's always the funny cook. But then when he gets like his own episode, not this one, but other episodes, it's like, oh yeah, I met Mengele, the guy that like killed my entire family, you know, or I fought the time that he dies. The time, yeah, he meets the guy who invented the weapon that, like, you know, destroyed his entire planet, basically, and killed his sister. And then there's an episode where
that's convenient.
Well, you know, they were in the neighborhood.
Entire galaxy, and they're going in one weird direction. Yeah. He runs into that guy.
That guy was, yeah, that guy was heading that direction too. And then there's the episode where Neelix dies, and they bring him back, and he doesn't see anything. So he learns that, like, you know, like heaven isn't real. And he's pretty depressed about that.
Wait, what? What?
Yeah.
There's an episode where like Neelix finds out that this is it. This is all there is.
Yeah.
Is that all there is?
Yeah.
Is that all there? Wow.
He's pretty bummed.
Okay. I do like that. What did he think Talaxian heaven was?
It's the great.
A lot of water.
They didn't spend a lot of time on it. It's like the great forest or something like that. They're all going to meet in this wonderful forest.
Okay, well that doesn't sound okay. Well, I'll be honest, I wouldn't be that disappointed.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's kind of like you could probably find a forest on any of these planets, really. Like, it's not like the what's Ferengi heaven?
The great repository or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. You go to like a depository. Big Federal Reserve.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You, like
right.
Ferengi heaven is like if you made enough profit, you get to go.
Yeah.
It's like a river of latinum.
Get to be middle management in the afterlife.
That's heaven. That's great to hang out with all this money. That sounds like fun. Yeah, look, a lot of Voyager's bad, some Voyager's good. As I get older, I prefer to focus on the 10% of Voyager that works. what has it been, like 25 years since this thing premiered? Like,
yeah, it's almost to the day.
We know it's not great. Like, we don't need more podcasts and YouTubers and books about, like, how Voyager's not great. Have you been listening to that Voyager podcast? It's the guys from Voyager talking about Voyager.
Yeah, the Delta Flyers.
Yeah, how is that? Because it's like
I'd
like to listen to those too.
Yeah,
yeah. Why not? I mean, look, it clearly, if I did, I would have. So maybe I don't want to listen to them. But yeah. Like, how are those two doing? How are those two kids doing?
I don't know. I know that they're both personally doing well. I haven't heard the show, and it's mostly because, you know, I think your mileage may vary on, like, you know, director or actor commentary. Like, you remember back in the 90s when DVDs were first coming out, we were all super excited that we could watch the movie three times over, you know, with, like, bored directors talking over it. And, like, I find often now that, like, those kind of stories don't do much for me. I mean, they help me out, I guess, in my work as a podcaster, because a lot of times I relate them, but I guess I don't, like, I respect those guys, but I don't necessarily care about all their little thoughts about, you know, what happened on set that day. I don't know if that makes me a grump or not, but.
Well, look, I mean, if they're not, like, you know, there's a difference between being a good actor and a good storyteller.
And a good storyteller, I suppose that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I don't know if these guys are just talking about catering and okay.
Yeah. No, that being said, if they want to come on this show, you guys are absolutely welcome to come tell your bad stories here.
All right, look, maybe delete the part where we busted on them so hard.
Yeah.
maybe cut that out if you want to get you might catch more flies with honey. Just putting that out there.
Yeah. Yeah, Harry Kim was a great captain on the night shift.
I like that. Good for him. Good for you, Harry. And that's not even the real Harry Kim. Harry Kim from that alternate Voyager where they didn't get their body harvested. Isn't that fun? And they saved that baby.
It's fake baby, fake Harry Kim.
That's fun. Yeah, sure. Okay. Whatever.
Well, as we get to the end here, is there anything you've left unsaid about the episode?
No, just you should go out of your way and watch it.
It's fun.
Like, ultimately, look, this is the best you can hope for from an episode of Voyager. That like right now, like for my family, I'm helping my family do some bookkeeping for like a little family business thing.
Uh-huh.
And I have to put like thousands of contracts into a database and just meticulously type up these notes. And if Voyager was not in the background, that would be a pretty good way to keep me company, damn it.
Sure, yeah.
This episode will keep you company. If you're having trouble falling asleep, you put on this. It's got nice actors, and it's fun running around. Nice little mystery. The good guys win, and the bad guys die.
The bad guys are incinerated, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not bad. Voyager, you could do worse. Voyager, you could do worse.
you can always get worse. Well, at the end of the show, we usually talk about space dads, like my space dad can beat up your space dad. Last time you were on the show, you said that Kirk was your favorite captain. How do you think Kirk would have handled this situation? Like if Kirk had to come up with that crazy plan to get Tom Paris on the Kazon ship, what would Kirk have done?
Oh, man, I kind of wish you hadn't said that because it would have been a better episode.
Can always be better.
Kirk would have pretended to be the saboteur.
He would
the defector.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Kirk would have come up with a new identity like Ensign James, like Ensign Ryan. And then he would do that because it's like, yeah, look, honestly, that's one of the things that TOS did right. Like, probably better if your main character is like doing all the
yeah there's only three main like characters you, yeah
yeah it's like you care more like you care more and then like and Spock would have been trying to solve that mystery. That would have been fun.
Yeah
like Kirk's the guy that puts himself in danger. Like that's Kirk, man. That would have been better.
That's what happened.
Pretty good.
That's what happens in the Enterprise incident in the original series. Kirk, you know, pretends to be acting erratically so they can get themselves into the neutral zone.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. Yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there was, like, Kirk, some of our TOS, they're always doing undercover bullshit.
Yeah, they really were. Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, ring as weird as it does on TOS when it's like, you're all going to put on Romulan costumes and eat Romulan pudding.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're all going to do, like, why are you doing this? Like,
we're all getting the forehead things. We're all Klingons now. Yeah.
Right. We're like the thing in like Star Trek Insurrection where it's like, oh, we're all going to hide in this. The whole
guy, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, yeah. It's weird.
Like you guys are like, it's weird that you guys are like perving on this society.
Why are you
like,
breathing so heavy? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you locking your office door? Like, I just kind of seems like you guys could probably cloak a probe.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Whatever. Seems like if you guys could cloak the side of a mountain, you could cloak a little robot flying around. But what I mean, see, you guys also have nanites. Like, you could send some nanites down. They would literally never find them.
Right.
Like, and just have the nanites pay. But no. Okay. I guess you guys want to play dress up. All right. But like with Captain Kirk, like I don't know, it's you forgive a lot in TOS because it's a space western. And yeah. It's like, yeah, Westerns are fun. Like, it's fun. This isn't supposed to be super smart.
It doesn't. It is. It's not supposed to make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And then, but like later when like the show takes itself more seriously, it's harder to forgive certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's sure. Okay. Look, Star Trek Voyager, I forgive you. You're all right. Now, look, Chakotay may be just a terrible character. Just terrible. Just a terrible character played by a worse actor. Like, I get that this guy's attractive. Just put him in a tank top then. Like, if the point is that he's hot.
Yeah.
If he's there to be kind of like your, like, sexy daddy, bad guy daddy.
Yeah.
Then, like, give him like a 7 of 9 thing. Be like, yeah, we got to put him in this skin tight bodysuit or he dies. Yeah, he's from the riptopotamus race.
Yeah.
And they have to, and if their arms aren't exposed, if their giant biceps aren't exposed,
yeah.
They die because they breathe through their big rippling biceps.
Yeah.
Every couple episodes, you know how like Pon Farr like happens like once or twice. Pon Farr is like every week for them, so they've got to just like grab like a lady or a guy and just choke him and just take him.
Yeah,
just take him, and then everyone's cool with it because they all think he's sexy. It's like a real. It's like do that. You see what I just did? How I just made Chakotay an interesting character.
Well, more interesting.
7 years to do that.
Yeah. Robert Beltran.
7 years to do that.
Robert Beltran didn't like this episode, and because he didn't like the way that the Tom Paris plotline was resolved. He didn't specifically like the fact that Chakotay was kept in the dark about Tom being undercover. And I kind of get the idea that Robert Beltran just says whatever comes to his mind without thinking about it, and he's not sure what's going on a lot of the time. Like he thinks his character, like you know, how like Shatner seems to think that he's Kirk. Like, I feel like Robert Beltran was, like, personally offended that, like, Chakotay wouldn't know. And it's like, that was the whole point. Like, you couldn't know. That was the point of the plot.
No, I mean, Robert Beltran is also correct that it's kind of like, look, am I the second officer or not? Because, like, if you're going to do a plot, if you're going to do, like, a plot that has my friend pretending to be an asshole to go into danger, it's like, look, we've been out in space here for 2 years now. Like, if you can't trust me by now, you know, and also, I can see Robert Beltran being like, what, you're going to roll back Tom Paris' character? Because it's like, I also don't like that.
Right.
But at the same time, like, man.
Give me a boxing episode.
Yeah, I like that. It's like they never wanted to have Chakotay be too cool because they didn't want him to ever like outshine the captain. Because it's like you can't have, you know, it's like if Janeway's tough, then Chakotay should be sensitive.
Yeah,
like that's what they should have done with Chakotay.
And you don't like want to repeat Riker.
Yeah, I mean, he's just older, thicker Riker. Like, yeah. That's what he is.
yeah, that's like, true.
You should have done a thing where Chakotay was like incredibly personable. Like you could always find Chakotay at the bar. And yeah. Like Chakotay was like the guy you could open up to you about your problems. And like Chakotay should have been the morale officer.
Yeah.
Cause there's always the thing in Star Trek where it's like there's a mom and a dad. Picard is a dad. Picard's a dad. Like Picard is your dad. Like Riker's kind of like your fun mom. Hey, let's all fuck around. Like, but with Voyager, it's like they had dad and like daddy-o.
Right.
And we all saw that show. It wasn't good. It's like they should have had dad and then less effective dad.
Not as good, like, dad. Well,
that's not a, you know, it's like the whole thing about Kirk. It's like Kirk's Spock and Bones, man. Kirk is all heart. Spock is all brain, and it's like, how are these two going to work together? It's like Chakotay and Janeway. One of them's competent and will do anything to get the job done, and the other one is competent and will do anything to get the job done, but does not sound like Katherine Hepburn.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like that's not really a dynamic.
Yeah.
That's not a dynamic. But like, boy, again, enough complaining about boys or all right. These nerds.
Right.
Sharpening their 25-year-old axes.
So many podcasts.
Voyager.
Where you can
it's
do that.
Fun.
Watch it.
Just, we're not on this one. Watch Voyager. It's fun. Sarah Silverman's there sometimes.
The last time you were on the show, we got you a commission at the rank of ensign. You're being promoted to the rank of lieutenant junior grade. And the job...
Lieutenant JG!
Congratulations. And the job that you had was that you were the booker for 10 Forward. So if you were stationed on Voyager, who would you book on Neelix's morning show?
I'm telling you right now, man, I would do a thing where Tuvok hosted like a trivia game show. Because something tells me... Like, Tuvok, who I love, by the way, and whose character doesn't change and shouldn't change because he's 300 years old.
Yeah, he's got to figure it
out. Yeah, I kind of like how with Tuvok, they're like, yeah, he's the victim of space racism.
Yeah.
Because, like, everybody keeps asking him to act more human. He's like, that's not our thing, man. It's weird that you want me to be more human, man. I'm a Vulcan, dude. Like, yeah. Can you be cool for, like, 1 second to me? I'm different than you. But, like, I feel like he'd make a great host of, like, Jeopardy. Because when Alex Trebek was like, no, you got that wrong. It's like, you don't know. You only know that because the cards say that. You can, like, look, rest in peace, Alex Trebek.
Yeah, but, like, careful.
You're not like, look, you were just a Canadian guy that looked into a job and did it well.
Right.
Like Tuvok would be like, actually the three states of matter are this.
Yeah,
this,
no
this.
Cards. He's got no cards.
I'm disappointed in you. Like, it's like, that stings, man. I want that. I want to get Tuvok's respect. And that's the name of the game show. Earn Tuvok's respect.
Well, Lieutenant Kokodos, thanks for joining me to talk about Star Trek and the Star Trek universe. If people want to continue the conversation, and they can at EISTpod on Twitter and the Enterprising Individuals Facebook page, where can people find you online?
You can listen to my, I got two shows out now. I got like just a really general comedy podcast. That, like, if you just want to hear me yell and scream, if you want to hear me be loud on a podcast, you can listen to The Loudest Podcast. I'm very loud on it. And you can find The Loudest Podcast on YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. And, you know, I think, honestly, your listeners might really like this little cyberpunk RPG podcast called Jacked. And you can find that at jackedpodcast.com. And thank you so much for having me on. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we cut off, do you want anything else you need to plug or stuff coming up?
No, look, if you plug 10 things, they won't go That's to true. Any of them.
That's true.
Just go to jackpodcast.com. Give it a listen. I think you'll like it.
All right, well, thanks again for joining me. And we are signing off until the next mission. Hailing frequencies closed. Backtracking is back for an all-new season. Hi, I'm Caliban.
And I'm Gooey Fame.
And we'd like to introduce you to Backtracking, the podcast that explores the real-world inspirations behind your favorite episodes of Star Trek.
From historical events to classical literature to blockbuster films, we go where no pod has gone before to seek out the origins of classic Trek tales.
Did you know, Gooey, that the TNG episode Too Short a Season was an allegory for the Iran-Contra affair?
Yeah, only sweatier. Did you know that the Enterprise episode Regeneration was an homage to the John Carpenter film The Thing?
Archer and T'Pol freezing to death over a bottle of whiskey would have been a controversial ending.
As a dog lover, Archer would not like The Thing, I'm guessing.
Oh my god, movie night is canceled. Join us every other Thursday for a journey back to the beginnings of the Trek universe.
Backtracking is available wherever you get your podcasts.
No, Porthos!